There is a certain sense of safety and camaraderie we feel when we're at the salon. Being around other women or men, sharing almost every little part of our lives, it's a form of escape for us to have a chin wag while we indulge in a little bit of vanity. However, the beauty industry largely goes unnoticed for the role it plays in the self-care that it can provide for its clients, which goes beyond, far beyond, just their looks. The Beyond Skin Deep Project, started by the University of Melbourne lecturer Dr. Hannah McCann, looks at the workers in the beauty industry of Australia and the role that they play in their clients' emotional lives. We're very lucky to be joined by Dr. Hannah McCann this morning. Sorry, we've been having a couple of little technical difficulties there. Hannah, I believe you're joining us now.
Yeah, hi.
Hello,
great to be
Hannah.
Here.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. Look, we've obviously just gotten in this news about the earthquake that's just occurred yeah. in Melbourne. How are you, and did you feel the earthquake?
The funny thing was, I was walking my dogs and I saw all my neighbours run onto the street, and I had no idea what was happening, but I didn't notice it because I was outside and I just thought it was a bus going past. So
okay.
I've escaped the experience that people had inside, which was quite awful by the sounds of it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, but you're well and safe from the sounds of it though, most importantly.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let's move on to why we invited you to join us this morning on The Daily, and I believe it should be a bit of a welcome back to 2SER. You spoke to the Weekend Breakfast team here last year, so welcome back to 2SER. Tell me, what is the Beyond Skin Deep project and how did it get started?
Yeah, so it's a project that I started halfway through last year, but I've been working on a few pilot projects before I commence this bigger project. And basically, it's looking at the relationship between salon clients and salon workers and the kind of disclosures that salon workers hear from clients on a pretty regular basis, and how many people they come into contact with in the community over, you know, the time when they're usually working, when it's not locked down. And the lack of supports really that are in place to help workers negotiate those disclosures, and the kind of things that we might do to reform the industry that will benefit both workers and clients that go to the salons.
Right. And can I ask, what inspired you to research the beauty industry?
Well, I was looking for my work is in a field called critical femininity studies. So a lot of people might have heard of masculinity studies. You know, there's a lot of talk about toxic masculinity and things like that. But my field is a response to that, saying, well, let's take seriously femininity as much as we mm-hmm. take seriously masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a site of femininity, this kind of a place that I could explore questions around femininity. And of course, the hair and beauty salon really stands out because it is a female dominated industry. It's a place where clients are predominantly women. And, you know, beauty as a kind of cultural site is something that we associate with femininity. Mm-hmm. So I started interviewing workers about what it's like working in the industry and questions about beauty and presentation. And it was really interesting because they kind of didn't really want to talk to me about beauty. They actually wanted to talk to me about emotions.
Right.
They wanted to tell me about this emotional side of their work. And I just followed that lead. I really let the research lead me to this space where which has opened up, you know, so many amazing discussions about the kind of things that people hear and mm-hmm. and the difficulties of working in the industry in that regard.
You did a survey on salon workers, and it was pretty shocking to read that 50% of them had their clients disclose cases of violence, but a lot of them admitted that they didn't know how to help or report these cases. Now, that's, you know, what the Beyond Skin Deep project is aiming to do. It's to train salon workers, obviously, to respond accordingly. So how is the training done and what does it involve? Can salon workers go get trained on their own?
Yeah, so I'm not running the training, but I've been working with one of the domestic violence services that does run training, which is the Eastern Domestic Violence Service, EDVOS, here in Melbourne. And they run a program called Hair 3Rs, which is which stands for Recognize, Respond, and Refer. And that's basically mm-hmm. a program which is training salon workers to respond to family violence, to both identify it in clients that might be through disclosures verbally, but also physical signs of violence, because, you know, it is one of these occupations where you have physical contact with people, where you're seeing their scalps and you're up close to their bodies and so on. Mm-hmm. And so EDVOS runs this training program. It used to be face-to-face when we weren't in lockdown, but they're starting up some they have been running Zoom sessions, and they're starting some new ones soon as well. If people are interested, you should definitely look up the EDVOS Hair3Rs site. But yeah, basically it's around a 3-hour session. And what workers get from that is the skills in order to be able to recognize and respond and refer, and to know that they don't have to take this on themselves. I think that's really important. So part of my research has involved interviewing the people who've been trained as part of this program. And initially I had some, I guess, concerns that, you know, something like this would be placing an additional expectation on workers to go above and beyond their normal work. But when I interviewed people, what they really told me was overwhelmingly was that they are already encountering this stuff in the salon, and they just don't know what to do most of the time, and they don't know who to go to. So people end up taking this on as their own kind of burden, or feeling really insecure about how they've responded to something. I'm really worried for their clients, obviously. And what this kind of training does is show a pathway that supports both the workers and obviously can create this amazing connection to clients who need help, So it's really positive.
I was quite surprised to learn that in the USA, salon workers are required to report cases of domestic violence, and it's also mandatory for them to take domestic violence training in order to renew their license. So in Australia, obviously that's not the case. Has this changed since the beginning of your project? What steps are being taken to make this sort of training, a requirement now?
Yeah, so what's happened in the last couple of years is that a lot of different programs are popping up all over the place.
Right.
So you have Hair3Rs here in Victoria, but you also have Hairdressers with Hearts up in Queensland. And then you have a lot of one-off little programs that have been run through Legal Aid in New South Wales and different regional areas. And it's really a funding issue. Like, it's difficult for these services and programs to always get enough funding to run the training and to do it for free so that it's easy for salon workers to access. But, you know, obviously what we really need, in my opinion professionally, would be that we need formal training much earlier on for people that are doing apprenticeships and, you know, at the very early stage of becoming a hair or beauty worker in your qualification, you know, getting some training from services like domestic violence services, but also, and this is completely missing from the conversation really anywhere in Australia and even really globally, is, you know, training for other things that people encounter in terms of disclosures. Because in my survey, yes, I did find that 50% of workers had encountered disclosures of family violence, but I also found that 80% had disclosures of mental health illness and issues around mental health. And in fact, 39% said they had had a client that had expressed suicidal ideation. That's extremely serious. I mean, you know, you're getting basically 40% of workers at some point in their career having someone in that position, and they might not know to refer people to Lifeline. They might not know about local mental health services. They might not know what to say in that situation.
Can I ask, what would you say to any salon workers listening now who might be in a position of wanting to help their clients but who don't know how to?
Well, the first thing to know is that, you know, you don't have to take this on as your burden. You know, there are services out there. There are community services for all of these issues that you can refer people to. And obviously, you can do that research on your own and look up those services. But the best thing to do is try and advocate within the industry where you can for this to be some kind of systematic training.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people in the industry are part of different industry groups, peak bodies. There's a hairdressers union, for example. You know, talk to the group that you're in and say, this is something that I would like help with. This is something I wish I had when I started in the industry. I mean, lots of people develop these skills kind of just because they're thrown into this social space and have to figure it out. over many years, but like people start in this industry very young a lot of the time, you know, 16. Mm. And there's no guidance necessarily. Yeah. So you know, I think I would just encourage people to advocate as much as they can within the groups and bodies that they can. And I'm trying to do the work to connect that up and provide the research that supports those kind of measures as well, like so that it's not right. just sounding like anecdotal evidence. Mm-hmm.
And promoting these fantastic conversations about these issues. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning. There'll be more information on our website as well for how people can get involved in the Beyond Skin Deep project. Hannah, thank you so much and stay safe.
Thank you.
To learn more about Hannah's work and the Beyond Skin Deep Project, go to beautysalonproject.com. You can also find more information on our website. That was Dr. Hannah McCann. She is from the University of Melbourne and is running the Beyond Skin Deep Project.